Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Take off on another parable tonight. It's a little bit opposite from the last time I spoke. If you recall, the last time that I preached on the parables, I had, I don't know, if 150 of them that I had to do in one single, that might be a slight exaggeration, but it was a bunch that I had to try and get through in a single sermon. Well, tonight is a little different. It's actually very short, but it is power-packed. And so I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. And we are going to talk tonight about the parable. In my Bible, it says the parable of the lamp. I know there's a few different wordings that are used depending on which Bible you have. But I'm reading out of the NLT, and it's the parable of the lamp. And we're going to start in verse 21. We're going to go through verse 25. It's 4 verses, 8 sentences long. But again, don't assume that because it's short that there's nothing there, because it is powerful. All right, so starting in verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus asked them, 'Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.' Then he added, 'Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them.'" Charles Spurgeon, a very famous preacher, said this. He said, "The Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible. The world reads Christians. You are the light of the world." We're going to be talking a lot about light. And I will tell you this. When I quote somebody, it's important to me to make sure that what they say lines up with the Word of God. And this quote is powerful. Why? Because it lines up with the Word of God. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." So when he says the world doesn't read the Bible, the world reads Christians, you are the light of the world, he's actually quoting the Bible itself. He says, "You are," in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We're going to talk about light tonight. We're going to talk about light that is inside of you. And so in doing that, I think it's important that we just think about light in general. What are the characteristics of light? What does it do? Well, I'm going to give you a list of some things here that light does. Light dispels darkness. What does dispel mean? Well, it means it makes it vanish. So light makes the darkness vanish. Light cannot be seen, but it reveals everything in its presence. Light cannot be grasped or held. Light fills all the space available to it, but will not invade space closed to it. Now think about that one, because we're going to talk about that. Light can be everywhere at once. Light is never consumed or exhausted by anything in its presence. It illuminates, it allows us to find our way. It reveals beauty around us. It provides warmth and comfort through that warmth. Light is energy and it produces power. Light is quick. It can go from here to there in an instant. It is essential for growth and healing. And light fades the further we move from its source. So some things to think about regarding light. I think it's interesting that God created the heaven and the earth, and then what's the very next thing that he created? He created light. Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that that light was good. Light's a big deal. It's referenced a lot in the Word of God. Light exposes darkness. And when it is allowed, and we're going to talk about what I mean by that, when it is allowed, it drives darkness away. So what do I mean by that? When we think about that phrase that I said, light fills all the space available to it, but will not invade the space closed to it. So in other words, we can close things off and not allow light in. So we have the option of letting light shine in every part of our life or just in certain parts of our life. We get to choose which area we let the light shine in. Rick and I, we live in a house that has been remodeled a few times, we think. Not really even sure. You look at things in the house and you're just, I don't know that we can even figure out exactly what the original configuration of the layout was. But it's been remodeled a few times. And so in our house, the lights are in some kind of strange places, really. They're not in the middle of the room or, you know, they're just not in the logical places in this house. And so in our bedroom, We have a very large bedroom. I like that about it. But about a third of the bedroom really has no light in it. I mean, there's a light over our bed, but about a third of the room off to the side really just doesn't get any light at all. And, you know, if I want to read when I'm in my bedroom, I have to be very deliberate about where I sit. Just last night, I had to make some adjustments just to be able to see a magazine that I was looking through. And yes, some people do still look through magazines. That gave my age away. But anyway, but I was looking through this. And so I had to position myself just right to be able to catch some light in that room. When I am close to that light, it dispels the darkness. I can see what's in front of me, but the farther away I move from it in that room, the more shadowy it gets. And you know, it's interesting because there are things in the room that block the light. We've got some furniture over in that darker area that really create a lot of shadows and a lot of darkness. We've got a big chair that if you go right behind that chair, you can't even really see what's behind it, even with the light on, because that chair is blocking any light from getting back there. And that's not an area you probably want to go very often because it doesn't get a lot of attention like it should. But light is one of those things that it can take over a space, but it has to be allowed to do that. When it's given access, it will consume all of a space. Now think about that statement for just a moment. When it's given access, it will consume the entire space. The problem is, it isn't always given access. Just like in that bedroom, we've got things that are blocking an area of the room from getting life. When you got saved, light was given an all access pass to your spirit. It completely invaded your spirit and took it over. All right? However, it did not completely invade your flesh and your mind, and it didn't change every part of your emotions, and it didn't make you just suddenly start thinking right. Your brain wasn't flooded with this light that changed the way you think just instantly. Your spirit was flooded with light. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their hearts would be flooded with light. And that's what happened to me. That's what happened to you when you got saved, was the eyes of your heart were flooded with light. Every bit of darkness was chased off, and you are full of light. So, when your spirit is full of light, that's a great thing. We know that we are saved. We know that we are going to heaven. But the other parts of us, we have to allow the light to come in. Yes. We have to allow the light. We have to remove anything that would impede light, that would hinder light from being able to take over the space. So, there are ways that we can look at this parable that would, we could look at them on a personal level, and then there are ways where we could look at them a little bit differently, and we're going to kind of cover two ways that we could look at it. If we look at this on a personal level, I want to read just the first part of it one more time. Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp should be placed on a stand where its light will shine. All right, let's think about that. On a personal level, why would anyone, I mean, you could ask yourself, why would anyone get saved and not let the light of Jesus illuminate every part of your life? Why would we not do that? Well, I can think of a few reasons, if I'm being honest, that I have personally not let the light of Jesus illuminate areas of my life. Fear of exposure. I mean, who wants the whole world to know all the bad things you've ever done? Let's not even say all the bad things, just some of the bad things you've done. Who wants everyone to know that? I don't want everyone to know that. And there's this fear that if we're exposed, that exposure would be worse than the freedom. I mean, the fear is worse than the good part of, that the freedom would bring. Does that make sense? So we will work and work and work and work to hide sin, to hide things going on in our lives because we're so fearful of exposure. Here's all I can tell you is every time I have felt that way and every time I have dug in my claws and tried to keep from being exposed and keep the world from knowing something that I have said or that I have done or some sin that I committed that was wrong, my fear of exposure was so much worse than the actual exposure. Because we overestimate people's inability to see that we're just human beings. See, what I have found is the people who love me will offer grace. Yep. Yep. My fear that nobody can understand the why, well, they probably can't, but they could still have grace for me. And every time I've felt like I didn't deserve forgiveness or I didn't deserve for someone to continue to love me through something, I've just found grace every time something finally came out. I've just found grace. People, Christian people, I know we get on this thing where we talk about all the negatives of Christian people, but the truth is I have found people to be quite loving when they know that I'm hurting, when they know that I've been exposed, when they know that I just need love in a moment and not judgment. Right. I've just found Christian people, for the most part, to be very loving. And I'm not saying everybody, but I'm just saying I think for the most part people are. So we fight not to allow something to be exposed when the freedom that comes when the light drives that darkness out is so much better. So much better. We think about this. Why would anybody do that? Well, we're doing it to hide sin. We're doing that to, a lot of us do it out of it feels like self-preservation. But true self-preservation is confessing our sin and knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. You know, when we hang on to this stuff and we try to hide parts of our lives and allow the darkness to remain in certain areas of our life, it's like we're giving, you know, saying to God, God, I give you my spirit. I'm saved. I give you this spirit of mine. And I give you most of my body and most of my mind, but I'm going to hang on. I'm just going to hang on to this pain from the past. Why? Well, because I just don't believe you can possibly chase off that kind of darkness. And I don't think I can handle everyone knowing that. So to protect myself from disappointment, I'm going to limit your access to that part of my life, to that part of me. But the problem with that is it just keeps us bound. It just keeps us in darkness. And you know what we tend to do? We tend to gravitate toward that part of our life. So you can look at this parable from a personal standpoint. Then you can look at it from a missional standpoint, where you can see that the light that is within you, if you cover it up, it actually has an effect in the world. We truly are the light of the world. And you've probably heard this said, that you're the only Bible some people will ever read. And that statement kind of goes hand in hand with what Spurgeon said, in that people are reading you. The world is reading you. And hopefully when they read you, they want to know about that light that is within you. Very few people come to the Lord because they just randomly found a Bible and picked it up and started reading. Now, that it doesn't mean that nobody has. Bill Worsham was telling me about someone the other day that just picked up a Bible and just started reading it and committed their life to the Lord. Praise God. But the truth is that that's not how the majority of people come to know God. The majority of people come to know God through other people. Why? They're reading the letter of your life. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says, clearly you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, this letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Again, people are reading you. People should be able to look at the Word of God alive in you and be drawn to the God that shines through you. Now I want you to hear that again. People should be able to look at the Word of God alive in you and be drawn to the God that shines through you. See, that's the letter that you're writing to the world. And every one of us is writing a letter to the world. Some of us are writing letters that say, well, I let God into this part of my life, but I don't let him into this part of my life. And you think you're fooling people, but you're not. We've all done that, where we have one area of life where we're just really not in the place where we ought to be. We're not standing in faith. We're not believing God to be trustworthy, to give him this part. And we think that people don't know that, but they read that actually very clearly through us. When light is uncovered and unhindered, it exposes darkness. But so many of us are working so hard to avoid the exposure so that no one knows what we've done. We're so concerned with public humiliation, with trying to hide this secret sin, that we don't realize that it really does create separation between us and God. Now, it doesn't keep us from going to heaven, but it will most definitely keep us from experiencing the fullness of a relationship with him. And it really, it's just about trust. It's a lack of trust in God the Father and the completed work of Jesus on the cross. When God's light is allowed to shine through you, it exposes the darkness in you, not to bring you harm, not to hurt you, but to heal you, to bring you out of sin, to bring you out of darkness. Here's the other thing that we have to consider is that when the light of God shines through us, it exposes darkness around you. Now, that's really good for you, but other people don't always love that, if we're being honest. They just don't. Sometimes people don't like the way they feel when they're around you, and they don't even know why. I had someone several years ago tell me that they had been kind of mean to me in the past because when I was around them, they knew that I was trying to live for the Lord, and it made them realize that they weren't. Now, it all worked out great. I mean, but I'm just saying, when you're really trying to let the light of the Lord shine through you, you got to know not everybody's going to love it. Everyone isn't going to welcome the light that you bring into the room or that you bring into their life. So is that a good reason to hide it or to tamp it down? Well, verse 21 says, of course not. We shine the light not because it brings glory to us or because it's easy, but because we have experienced a God who is mighty to save. And we can't deny others the opportunity of knowing the love, the grace, the mercy, the redemption, the compassion, the immeasurable greatness of the power of our living God. We should never shy away from allowing the dark parts of our lives to be exposed, and we should never shy away from allowing the light of God to shine through us. So what is this light that we're even talking about? Well, in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is that light within us. So every single one of you, whether you feel like you're just really filled with light or not, you have that light in you if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord over your life. He is there, but you've got to make room. You've got to get rid of the things that impede that light and hinder him from being able to shine through you. So let's look at the second half of that parable. It says in verse 23, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Having ears and having ears to hear are two different things. If you are a parent, you know what I'm talking about right now. Because every single one of us have had that experience where a kid is looking right at you. And you say, did you hear me? And they say, yes. And they walk away. And every single thing they do proves to you repeatedly that they didn't hear anything that you said. Having ears and having ears to hear, two completely different things. But you got to know that anytime Jesus says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand, or for those with ears to hear, he uses that phrase several times. Here's what he's saying. Pay attention. Do you think that he thinks that about us? I mean, you really think about that. How often has he thought that about me? She looked right at me and said she heard. Boy, she sat all the way through that conference and thought her life had been changed and just declared that God had just done a work. And then she walked away from there and just, there was absolutely no evidence. I think that God gets not frustrated, but amused by us in the same way that we can be amused by our children. And I say we can be amused by them. If you're in the trenches, you're not amused. But when you get to be my age and you can look back, it's amusing. But he's saying, listen, don't just look at me with your eyes open like you're listening. Actually pay attention and listen so that you can understand what I am saying. Hannah teaches when she's teaching the seven habits. It's about listening so that we can comprehend. Too many of us, when we're listening so that we can decide what our next word is going to be. We've got to learn to be patient as listeners. And I have had to really work on this over the years. And there are just times when I force myself to say nothing. I have to force myself because I've always got something to say. But if I'm going to truly understand where someone is coming from and what they really mean, I've got to be able to shut my mouth and really focus in on what that person is saying. I'm not listening so that I can feel good about myself. I'm not listening to impress someone with my knowledge. I'm listening to truly understand. When people come to church, you know, there are a lot of people who come, but not a lot of people who listen. And, you know, we talk about, you know, a Wednesday night crowd. We have a lot of much higher percentage of people who come on a Wednesday night. And that is thrilling to me. Why? Because those are the people who want to understand. And I'm not saying people on Sundays don't. You got to hear me. But really, that's going the extra mile to really hear from God and understand what He would say to you. And so, we're not here to be able to tell people we went to church. We're not here to be able to spout off something that we know so that we sound impressive. We're here to understand and know more fully the heart of God toward us, His people. I am convinced, completely and totally convinced, that the Word of God multiplies in us exponentially when we have ears to hear. I'm completely convinced of that. In verse 24, it says, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Even more what? Even more word. Then even more understanding. Then even more word. Then even more understanding. It multiplies. The more you commit to hearing and knowing the heart of God through listening, the more you will understand and know the word. Verse 25 ends by saying, for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. The closer you pay attention to Jesus, the more you understand about Him. The people who listen to a sermon week after week, who are like, you know, the Bible talks about as the deer pants for the water. The people who are panting after the Word of God so much that they can't get enough of it. Those are the people who are searching out the Scriptures, who are listening to every word that's spoken, not because they're trying to impress anyone, but because they love, dearly love the God who saved them. Those people have ears to hear, but there are a lot of people who don't have ears to hear. You know why? They don't know how to actively listen. You know what I love when I read about Jesus? He actively listened to people. You know, there were people who came to Him and asked for healing. And you know what He said to them? Your sins are forgiven. Now, why would He say that when they asked for healing? Because He was listening to them with the intention of understanding their heart. And He knew because He actively listened to them. He looked at them. He made eye contact with them. He saw their body language. He saw every facial expression. And He listened to them from his heart that he might understand their heart. Yeah. Yeah. And when he did that, he could see and understand what the true need was. And those people who thought they needed physical healing, he knew, no, what you really need is spiritual healing. And so he gave them first and foremost what they needed more than anything else. The really cool part is they also walked away with physical healing. But Jesus actively listens. The disciples actively listened. That's why they would meet with him afterwards and say, okay, you said something earlier. You need to explain that to us. Why? Because they were actively listening and they were keenly aware when they didn't understand something. See, if you're really listening, you'll know, okay, I don't get that. And you'll want to know, and you'll seek somebody out. You'll pray over a scripture and say, God, would you show me what that means? Or you'll walk up to someone, because pride doesn't matter when you just want to know the heart of God. And you will say, hey, listen, I don't know what that means. I have many times had people ask me about a scripture, and I have to look at them and say, I'm really sorry. I don't know any more than you do what it means, but I'll try to figure it out. But that's actively wanting to hear the heart of God. As the worship leader, I've through the years, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but I'm saying through the years, I've had people come to me several times, and they will come up to me and they will say, you know, we just love the music here. The music here is just so amazing. And then they'll follow it up with, you know, I just get so much more out of the music than I do the sermon. And that's heartbreaking to me. Now, I'm not saying that God can't heal you while you worship him. I'm not saying that he can't soften your heart in that period of time. I'm not saying that he can't give you a revelation during that period of time. But we should never elevate music above the word of God. God said he had elevated his word above his name. So it's pretty important that we want to receive that word. And what all I can gather in those moments is that that's a person who wants to be entertained. That's a person who wants their ears tickled. But man, when it gets hard, you know, every message you hear is not going to be an easy message to hear. When it gets hard, they just check out on that. You know what? I like the music a lot better. I'm not saying, you got to hear my heart on this. I'm not saying there aren't times that God just really gives you something that you were in need of during worship, because he's done that for me. I'm just saying that if your heart is that you would rather just come and leave as soon as the music's over, you're really missing it. God has used so many moments in my life where the worship was powerful. I mean, it was powerful. The time I spent with God in that time was powerful. And he softened my heart during that time. And he would take a heart that came in and it was hard in some way, in whatever kind of, I mean, it could be hardened from just pain, personal pain. It can be hardened from physical pain that you're just tired of dealing with. It can be hardened from just about anything. And he's taken that heart of mine, and in that time of worship, he's made it soft and pliable again. But you know what? He uses that time so that when the living word of God goes forth, it changes people. And that has happened to me more times than I can count. That word went forth, and oftentimes it was right in this building or that building down there from our very own pastor. And the revelation from God has hit me just like a lightning bolt. And it's changed me. It's changed the way I think. You know what? You think wrong. Not about everything, But we all do. We all have parts of our lives where we think wrong. And God can use that time of worship to soften me up. And then that word goes forth and I start to think right. You know why? Because he reveals himself to me. And I know his heart. And I'm not wounded by it. I'm transformed and I'm changed and I grow and I leave better than when I came. But it's the word of God active and alive in me that changes me. But it takes active listening. Jesus listened actively, and so should we. He saw beyond the physical, and he went to their true need. So this is a parable, and honestly, we could preach on this parable alone for a very long time. There's so many other ways that you can dissect this. But I want you to think about it. Just, we're going to close. I want you to think about it as we recap this in reverse of what we've said. You've got to listen actively. You've got to listen actively so that you can truly understand and keep that word. Because remember, he says, if you don't have ears to hear, that even what you think you understand is going to be taken away from you. So listen actively so that you can understand and keep that word. Who is that word? It's Jesus, and he's the light of the world, and he is now making his home inside of those who've accepted and believed on him as their Savior. And when that light is inside of you, other people can read the letter of your life and come to know that same light that's in you, and it can lead them to true life. So much in this parable. I hope y'all got something out of that. Let's stand.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.